of the heart flows the issues of life. And many of these issues stem from one's emotional, mental, and spiritual condition. Such issues may oppress, stifle, and even stagnate one from living a healthy and fulfilling life. So how does one progress past such issues and achieve a state of emotional, mental, and spiritual healing? There's help. So open your heart and prepare your mind. It's time for healing to take place in your life. You're in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, a holistic approach to emotional healing. And now, your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell.
It's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do.
Well, good afternoon. You're in tune to another podcast of Talking with Dr. Toy. Comes your way every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I do want to say thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast. And you know what I always do? My purpose is to provide a holistic approach to emotional healing. Therefore, my mission to provide a holistic, restorative, therapeutic approach in addressing and resolving issues that adversely affect the emotional, psychological, spiritual, and physical well-being of individuals who desire to enhance their quality of life. I also want to do a self-care check. How are you, and what did you do, and what are you doing? But what did you do for self-care this week? I am always interested in ways in which you are investing in your own well-being, taking an active part in investing in ways to improve your holistic self. And so my hope is that you are doing that work. And remember, doesn't have to be huge, just can be minute, taking 5 minutes. That's what I've been encouraging my clients to do, a 5-minute challenge. Can you take 5 minutes out of your day to really invest in yourself and connect with yourself emotionally? How are you really doing? How are you really doing? What are you experiencing? And I want that to be holistic. What are you experiencing not only physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, really connecting and investing in that reflection of what you are experiencing? And how are you experiencing it? How is it showing up? Is it showing up in your relationships? Is it showing up in you just disconnecting and isolating from individuals? How is it showing up for you? And what do you need? What is needed in this moment for you? You know, I've been talking to clients about that aspect of those mental health check-in, those 4 questions that I just asked you. And someone said something very powerful when I mentioned that. And the last question, what do you need? What is needed? Do you need a hug? Do you need to be held? What do you need? And someone said, that's the question that I am fearful of asking myself with regards to what I need, because I'm fearful that my needs will not be met. And so what happens is this, is that there's this fear or this wanting to brace ourselves and protect ourselves from disappointment. If I do admit or connect that I do need something, what happens when I can't get that need met? What if I do need a hug? What if I do need to be held and that need is not met? That may cause more pain, more disappointment. And so sometimes what we do is this, is that we don't even ask ourselves the question. We don't even connect that there may be needs that I have. We don't even ask ourselves the question because of the fear of disappointment and wanting to protect ourselves against that need not getting met. Here's how I want to respond to that, because it is legitimate that if I ask myself, what is it that I need? What happens if that need is not met? Do I cease to ask myself the question? So, and then what happens is that I bury the need. I pretend, or I keep moving that, you know, that I don't even ask myself the question. And we may begin to fool ourselves, trick ourselves into believing that I don't have any needs. And what's the use of giving voice to that when maybe no one cares and no one can meet that, especially if you're in the position of the one that people go to, right? That I'm the rock. Here's how I want to respond to that. Again, understandable and legitimate. But here's what happens. When we disconnect and bury what we may need and don't even ask ourselves that question, here's what's happening. We begin to lose aspects of ourself. Because now when I ask that question to individuals, here's the answer. I don't even know what I need. And there may have been a point where you did know what you needed. But because of this aspect of it's not going to be met, what's the use of giving voice to it? I just bury it. And we disconnect further and further from ourselves. Instead of exploring, although I may not be able to get that need met the way that I want to, which may be in companionship, right? Especially when I talk with women who are single and they're like, I want companionship. I want someone to share my life with. I want someone to hold me and to be held and to be loved and cared for in ways. And it's like maybe the mere thought of that and the absence of that in my life brings about a pain that I don't want to engage in. And so for those moments, and listen, you may be in a situation where it's not even you being single, right? I'm married, and I feel like I'm in a marriage that is emotionless, that where I don't feel supported, that I feel like I'm in this alone. So sometimes we may think that, you know, the answer is, well, get married. And then we find out that when we do get married that, oh, there's still issues that persist that are not resolved. And so what I'm saying is this, is that we may think of ways that our needs are not getting met. And so then we bury it instead of exploring and becoming curious to say, I may not be married. It can get the need met in that way. But what are some other paths that those needs can be met? Maybe I can't feel the warmth or the embrace of a companion, but what about a friend? What about a family member? And even listen, research has shown that when we talk about physical touch, your body doesn't recognize if it's you or someone else, that a hug, giving yourself a hug. Now, it may sound corny, but listen, your body responds, right? So if I'm not able to get that from others at this present moment, what about hugging myself, right? What about affirming myself? What about receiving that from my Abba Father? What about that? Because what we are doing is we're opening ourselves up to various ways to effectively cope and manage with what we are experiencing. And that is a form of self-care. It really is. But if we negate that and bury those needs and not voice them, not articulate them, then we cease to really manage ways to effectively address our emotional, spiritual, and physical, our holistic well-being. This is self-care as well. And then this concept of community care, how did you show up for others and how did you allow others to show up for you? Yes. How are you showing up for others in this aspect of emotional well-being, and did you and are you allowing others to show up for you? Here's the thing. Some of us have foreclosed and we've shut the door of allowing others in our lives because of past hurts and past harms that we've experienced. And yes, we're protecting ourselves, but we're also imprisoning ourselves. And there may be people, because we talked about this before, that how does God meet my needs? And yes, that's a spiritual aspect, but God also uses people. And if I've closed myself off and disconnected from people and even allowing an openness to have new people emerge in my life, then I may be cutting off my supply of affirmation, of love, of care, right? And so how did I allow others to show up for myself? How am I allowing that in my life? Again, self-awareness, showing up for ourselves. These are things that I'm hoping that you're incorporating into this new year that is upon us. And listen, the month is flying by. And so I was listening to a podcast, I was listening to a broadcast, and it stated that January the 17th is a acknowledged day because it's by that time where people have really foreclosed and really forsaken the resolutions that they made for themselves for the new year. And hopefully, you know, if you're not making resolutions, you have some intentions, it is not too late. But my prayer is that you're taking little steps, small steps, because sometimes when we try to take leaps, we may get discouraged because it seems so insurmountable. And so little steps can create huge change. That's why the 5-minute challenge of that mental health check-in, that 5-minute challenge, I hope that you're taking part of that. Listen, last week I took a break from a series that I wanted to begin that's called In the Beginning. And I'm going to postpone that for this week as well because I really want to address the sisters. I really do. Because some of the things that we are experiencing in these spaces are inducing stress, depression, yes, depression, anxiety. And sometimes here's the thing. Sometimes what happens is that we don't want to admit that. And sometimes even in the religious realm, we call ourselves, we're like, well, I don't want to speak death. I want to speak life. I want to speak life over myself. So when we are experiencing these symptoms of whether it be sadness, grief, anxiety, depression and stress, it's like we don't want to speak to it because it's like if we speak to it, then we give life to it. And that makes it that much more real for us. And so instead of speaking to it and connecting with it, what do? We disconnect from it. We bury it. And here's the thing that I've been saying this over and over in the broadcast, that it comes up. They come up in other ways. You know, I was reading this post. And I think it's very powerful, and I wanted to share it with us today, because when we talk about depression, and when I mention that, sometimes even within sessions, you can tell that it doesn't hit well with clients. It doesn't hit well. It's like, ooh. It's like I don't want that label. I don't want that stigma. And sometimes, and here's the thing that I want to express too, that when we talk about depression, we may think, you know, well, I'm not suicidal. I'm not, you know, I'm functioning. I'm still out here doing things. And so the symptoms of depression that we may be familiar with, that may be more publicized with regards to movies and all this is just this constant sadness, this inability to do things, and this aspect of hopelessness, worthlessness, and all of that. And we may look at that and say, well, that's not me. So that's not what I'm experiencing. So can't be that I'm depressed. But then, you know, I was looking at this post that really talked about high functioning depression. It talked about that. And I'm going to be honest, it mirrors some of what people of color may experience. And that's why may have difficulty connecting that this could be depression. It talked about when we look at high functioning depression, some of the symptoms may look like: one, appearing like they have it all together. Appearing, because what others may see may not be what is truly happening and what you are truly experiencing in your life. That I may look made up, I may look dressed to the nines, I may look like I'm in my professional attire, and I may look like I got the position and the power and all of this. However, appearing like they have it all together, it's an appearance, but it's not indicative of the reality that I'm experiencing. Listen, high functioning depression, able to complete daily obligations. Yes. So again, this aspect of, well, can't be depressed because I'm able to get things done. But I do wonder how you're getting those things done. That you're able to get things done, but how much does that take out of you? How much energy is that taking? Does it seem like it takes more energy to do smaller things that it used to not have any problem doing? But the things that you're used to doing takes more energy, takes more out of you, although you're able to get it done. And listen, appearing outwardly strong. We hear that word again, appearing outwardly strong. It's an appearance. And that coincides with this aspect of that strong Black woman persona. That never let them see you sweat. Keep up, you know, keep this thing up that you have to be strong. Can't show an ounce of weakness. And this is what we see depression as. Oh, it's weakness instead of our humanity, right? So appearing outwardly strong, but you know within the inside of you, something is off. That I'm struggling to keep up appearances, but this is not indicative of my reality right now. And listen, here's another symptom. Masking real emotions like sadness. I want to stay there for a minute. Masking real emotions like sadness. It's like we have no problem just connecting with aspects of happiness and joy. And here's a question for you. When was the last time you experienced authentic joy and happiness? Wasn't masked, wasn't pretense, but really authentically experienced that. And here's what happens. We are okay when we do experience some happiness and joy, but what about sadness? What about hurt? What about woundedness? What about grief? What about anxiety? What about fear? We mask those real emotions. And here's what's happening. When we mask those real emotions, we give the appearance that we are a rock. And the appearance that we give is the appearance that people take from us, and they may, and their behavior and actions are indicative of their perceptions. That you don't seem sad. I've never seen you. I've never seen you cry. I've never seen you just hurt or even admit that you're hurt or wounded. So I am thinking, well, you are strong. So you can take a licking and keep on ticking, that I can bring you all my issues and you're good, because I've never seen you hurt or cry or even make an admission. So we're masking those. Listen, here's the other aspect of high functioning depression: keeping busy and working long hours. It's like there's this restlessness where you have to keep busy. You have to keep doing something. You have to keep your mind preoccupied in all of that, because some of this may be that if I sit still long enough, the realness of what I may be experiencing may emerge. And I'm fearful of being overwhelmed by that. So we keep busy, working long hours, right? In essence, that can be a protective strategy to protect us from these real emotions. And then it affects ways in which we make decisions. We may have difficulty making decisions because there's this rumbling that's going on inside of us, and we're masking and we're trying to appear like we have it all together, and we're doing all of this, and it's difficult sometimes to keep these balls in the air, and we have difficulty making decisions. And I would say maybe difficult making personal decisions. Like when we get to work, we can turn it on. We can be the boss. We can be this. Oh, do this, this. We even connect with our families. We can be the one that comes up with the solutions and do this and do this. However, when it comes to your own interpersonal life, you may find it difficult to make decisions because you have truly lost yourself. And listen. Low self-esteem. Now you may say, well, you know, I feel confident and good about myself, and beautiful. I'm grateful that you do. But there is some aspect of having or experiencing low self-esteem with regards to you as an individual versus what you do in your title and your work. Because if we took away all those things, your title, your work, what would remain? And how do you like what remains? Do you love what remains? And listen, I'm talking in a space of what I know and what I've heard people say, that they don't even know if they like themselves. And some have emphatically stated, I don't. Because they are consumed by the what ifs, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and the disappointments, and they connect the disappointments that have happened in their lives, maybe some bad decisions that they've made, and they, in essence, don't even like themselves. This is real. And listen, when we talk about aspects of this high functioning, you know, depression, the point that I'm making is that it can show up. It can look different. It can look different. And I am just really wanting to encourage our awareness so that we know what we are dealing with, and that we connect not to it as a weakness, but connect to it as a point of our humanity that needs to be addressed. It goes back to this book that talks about Real Talk, Black Pain by Terry Williams. And she put forth some some characteristics of what depression may look like in people of color versus what we have identified according to the DSM. But basically, some of the things she said, I wonder if you resonate with. She says, you're always too busy. Never have or take the time to give yourself the care that you need. You are running from something. Something is eating at you. You keep things that bother you locked up inside, festering. You are afraid to speak about disappointment, hurts, fears. You are afraid to express anger. You hold on to grudges for way too long. You can't ask people for what you need. You lie about everything, even simple things. You can't wait to get home to eat something, anything, and lots of it. It's the only thing that soothes you. You just don't have energy to do anything. You have to force yourself to do everything. Everything is so hard that you're sleeping a lot. And it's near impossible to get up, and you're afraid to get up. Can't seem to concentrate. You may be, in essence, you are not doing work that brings you joy. You are just working a gig and holding out for the check. You are, in essence, listen, you have a persistent, gnawing feeling that something is wrong. And people are talking, and you know this because their lips are moving, but you have no idea what they are talking about. You think this is the end of your rope, and there's no way you can face another day. These are just things that I'm wondering, do you resonate with? And if not, that's okay. But here's the thing. We're not only looking out for ourselves, but are we asking these questions of those that we consider our friends, that are close to us? That yes, you may not be experiencing this and beautiful, but what about the people near to you? It's like sometimes we are fearful to engage in these real dynamic conversations that really get to the realness of what is happening in our lives. It's like we want to stay on the surface. We want to stay on the periphery when people are toe up from the flow up in their lives. Do we have the space to engage? And here's the thing. You may be in this space of, you know what? I'm barely holding on myself. I can't ask them these questions because I'm struggling to even ask myself the same questions. What is that saying? They're saying there's something that's needed, that needs our attention, that we need to tune into. And that we need to turn to. I was reading the Daily Bread, and I really love this particular devotion that was entitled Calling Out to God. And here was a question. Listen, here was a question that I thought was very powerful. It says, how comfortable are you taking your cries to God? Why? If you're uncomfortable, why? If you are comfortable, why? And how would you measure that on a scale of 1 to 5? With 1 being uncomfortable, 5 being very comfortable. How comfortable are you taking your cries? I mean gut-wrenching, real cries to God. And here was the follow-up question. How might you offer up a lament to him today? This is going to go back to those people who are like, well, you know, we don't want to speak it into existence. So we don't want to speak it. So we just want to, you know, because we know, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yes. Definitely understand that. And there are spaces where we want to be protected, where we cannot be vulnerable. As people of color, we've got to realize that there are spaces that we cannot be vulnerable, that we have to be guarded. Yes, that's the reality of living as a person of color in this country. However, again, but we've got to learn to turn it down and turn the volume up and find safe spaces. Because when we don't do that, we risk our health. And so how might you offer up a lament to God today? And this again, going back to, we can speak these things to God in places of safety. Because that's the whole reason why we have lamentations in the Bible. When we see the laments, why? Because it's, again, showing our vulnerability in relation to God, because we're going to a God who has felt what we felt, who has experienced what we have experienced, and the God who can touch us in our pain, that can comfort us in our pain, and who knows anyway. But the realization is this: speaking that to a God so that we receive comfort and solace and healing and restoration. So lamenting is a part of this Bible. It's a part of Scripture. When we lament, we are making known our humanity, our vulnerabilities to God. And that is faith. That's not a lack of faith. That is faith, knowing that I can go beyond the veil, that I can take off this mask and I can be real with the one who knows me better than I know myself. That is not a lack of faith. That is not a weakness. That is faith. That is faith, knowing that I can turn to him. And when we look at the Psalms, when we look at the Lamentations, we see, we experience the realness of these moments, which I'm grateful that we can turn to. And the scripture text that it emphasizes is Psalm 25, verse 16 and 22. It says this: turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Listen, lonely and afflicted. I'm speaking this to God. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Listen, we get anguish. We are in despair. And it's looking to God. Look on my affliction and my distress. Taking this to God. And that's where we want to do our work. Because if we want to work in ways where we can stabilize aspects of depression and regulate aspects of anxiety, trapping it and keeping it within our bodies, we stay stuck. And it does have an adverse effect on our holistic health. So again, how comfortable are you taking your cries to God? How comfortable are you even admitting it to yourself? It's not about a lack of faith. It is faith to speak to that which you are experiencing and taking that to your daddy who knows it, but wants you to be aware of it and experience what he can do for you in those spaces. And if we are in pretense with God, then we're not allowing God to do the work that he is so capable of doing in our lives, where we don't have to appear, but we can truly be joyful and peaceful. And we're not keeping up appearances. It is the essence of who we are because of whose we are. And acknowledging our humanity. That, yeah, there are going to be some spaces and places in my life where I don't have it all together, where I'm not okay. And it's okay. And I can take those things to God. And I can sit with that and be okay. I want us to think about that. Well, listen, I'm running out of time. Remember what I always say, relentlessly and intentionally pursue authentic and genuine relationships vertically with God, horizontally with others, and inwardly with yourself. Maintain and sustain a keen sense of awareness and ongoing discovery about self as well as others. Take good care of you and engage in things that are helpful for your mind, body, soul, and spirit. And remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it and continue our journey towards emotional healing. Until next time, bye-bye. So I need You've been in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, providing a holistic approach to emotional healing with your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell. Please connect with me at talkingwithdrtoy.com or Facebook at Talking with Dr. Toy or email talkingwithdrtoy@gmail.com. I would love to hear your story and hear your heart regarding the issues of life you may be experiencing. Remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening, and please join me next week for Talking with Dr. Toy.